Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because the only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes. And my very special guests joining us today are Ralph Fiersatola and Rima Labo. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much, Vinnie. I would first, before we begin anything else, I have to know why you're wearing a dress shirt and a tie. My whole world has become disoriented and disconnected. The cognitive dissonance is overwhelming.
Well, I'm a lover of irony, and I call these things urban camouflage, because you see, I've got a collar around my neck, cuffs around my wrists, and I'm wearing a leash. All right, so
you look good, Vinnie. You look good.
Yeah.
You look good.
Well, that's the thing. I like to pretend that I'm some kind of media yuppie scumbag douche, or at least put that impression across initially before people hear me speak.
You're not?
No, unfortunately. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to do fundraising so much. I'd just get
There's
paid.
That. There's that. Yes.
Well, one can only hope. Now, actually, I'd probably get fired pretty freaking quickly if I was ever employed by a mainstream media news organization. Hmm.
Oh, I think all three of us share that distinction.
Yeah. Well,
one of my acquaintances or friends, Judge Napolitano, recently got thrown off of Fox News, and now apparently he's back on again when it was discovered that, in fact, he was right. There's actually a member of the British spy apparatus who has an office at the NSA headquarters, and because he's allowed to spy on Americans while the NSA is allowed to spy on Brits, they exchange information so that they're not violating their own laws. How nice. So once that was revealed, apparently a judge got back on the air because he had been telling the truth all along.
And I thought I was a lover of irony.
That is really extraordinary, because the lies that are told continually by the people that we employ and by the people that employ the people that we employ, et cetera, are so egregious. And here is someone who is knocked off for telling the truth on, for God's sakes, Fox News. Now, irony, Vinny, your shirt and your tie are well deserved tonight.
You know, I just love that. Somebody got fired off Fox News for telling the truth. Didn't see that coming.
It's always fun being on this program, I have to say. It's
you know, hey, look, things couldn't get any worse. Now, I wanted to talk about, there was a number of things we wanted to talk about. In fact, Vaxxed, the new documentary, is coming out. And in fact, we are having the premiere in Auckland on Sunday, and I'm going to be going to that.
Excellent.
Just got a couple of tickets, going to be taking my wife and taking my cameras and all of that kind of thing. There's going to be a big Q&A afterwards. And I recall, Rima, you were talking to me once upon a time about nalgalays, all right, which many people think goes on your Thanksgiving turkey, but it's actually a vaccine additive that is not that great for you.
If Monsanto or Bayer or Syngenta or Pfizer or ConAgra helped to raise your Thanksgiving turkey, perhaps it is on your Thanksgiving turkey. Let's talk about what nalgalase is. Viruses have ways of inactivating the immune system. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to pierce cells, introduce their DNA into the cells, capture the DNA replicating mechanism of that cell, and force the cell to replicate themselves rather than do the regular business of the cell. And one of the ways that viruses do that is by short-circuiting the function of the immune system completely with something called nalgalase. It's an enzyme that certain viruses produce in order to help them with their little nefarious viral plans. of capturing our apparatus and forcing it to reproduce them. It's kind of an alien invasion kind of deal that viruses do on a regular basis. Now,
that sounds like an autoimmune disease just waiting to happen.
Well, it is. It's many things. One of the things that also involves NAGLase, one of the few times that the human being produces NAGLase is cancer cells. They, too, have to evade the surveillance and search and destroy mission of the immune system in order to propagate and reproduce. So NAGLase is produced by a great many cancer types in order to turn off the immune system surveillance, because ordinarily the immune system would find a cancer cell and say, die. It would kill that cancer cell, and that would be the end of that. But with NAGLase being produced, the interface of vitamin D and the switch that that is turned on in the presence of the vitamin D transporter protein, GCMAF, that whole switch is short-circuited. Now, Dr. Jeff Bradstreet, who was a very, very fine doctor and a very fine researcher, got curious. He said, autistic kids with no cancer and no known viral problems have very high levels of NAGLase. Gosh, I wonder how that happened. Gosh, I wonder if somehow the brain is producing NAGLase or somehow something else is producing NAGLase. And furthermore, he said, I wonder what would happen if I gave them GCMAF, which would jump over that blockage caused by NAGLase and restart the immune system. Huh. And what happened was that 85 to 95% of the kids that he treated, by just giving them an ordinary molecule that is involved in the cascade of events that starts the immune system working, 85 to 95% of those kids, bingo, stopped being autistic. And he said, I wonder what would happen if we went looking for the source of that NAGLase. And ultimately, the answer is, well, what would happen, Dr. Bradstreet, is you'll be declared to have suicided yourself with a rifle shot, two rifle shots to your own chest. And after being killed by your alleged own suicidal rifle shots, you would then drag yourself into the river, proving that you really wanted to die. What happened is that Dr. Jeff Bradstreet was murdered for his investigation, because what he found was that NAGLase was in vaccines. Vaccines cause autism. No question about that. Now, you don't need the movies to tell you that.
Even the CDC documents and the studies into the connection between autism and all of that found those, and that's why they destroyed those documents, or at least the majority of them, until we had a wonderful whistleblower called Dr. Thompson, who actually leaked those out. Now, New Zealand media actually did a bit of a story on this vaxxed movie coming here, and I know Melanie, the woman who did the interview, and I know that she's very honest, but I also know that she likes keeping her job. So there's certain elements of the documentary which she didn't mention, you know, for example, the part where they give two qualified doctors the documents to read through and then make their own conclusions, and then they both become anti-vaccine right away. And the other parts of it was never talking about the express intention of indeed creating this massive, massive crisis for people. Because let's not forget, as soon as one new vaccine, just one new vaccine, is added to the schedule in the United States, and currently there's like 50-odd or whatever, that's an extra $3 billion per year in the drug company who manufactures it pocket.
And whoever owns the patent gets a chunk of that, and 50 of those vaccine patents are owned by the U.S. government itself. But before we get on to the vaccines, let's back up a step to Nagalase and what it does to help viruses get into our cells to reproduce. There is something that can counter that to a certain degree.
There is indeed.
There is a nutrient that supports normal cell membrane integrity.
And wait, let me interrupt you. How do we know this? One of the best ways we know this is through research that was conducted by the United States Department of Defense, Division of Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, on the nutrient that Ralph is going to talk about, looking specifically at hemorrhagic viruses like Ebola and Tacarib. It was declassified in 2009. So this wasn't done by somebody's aunt on the sidewalk outside the police station down the block. Okay, go ahead, Ralph. Although somebody's aunt may do very good research, this was done by the U.S. government and declassified by them. Go ahead, Ralph.
It's actually done on behalf of the government by some scientists in a university, I think, in Minnesota. But this particular nutrient, they tested it at three strengths, and they tested it in Petri dishes with living cells and various hemorrhagic viruses. And at all three strengths, it had a strong ability to support the cell's normal membrane, the normal integrity of the cell membrane. That is, the virus could not pierce membrane in order to replicate. And what was that particular nutrient? It was, of course, nanosilver.
Nanosilver, but it was indeed the lowest level of the nanosilver. They tested 10 parts per million, they tested 50 parts per million, and intermediate, they tested 25 parts per million. It was the 10 part per million solution, which happens to be the one that we make available, and it's the very, very same silver, that was the most effective. I'm sorry, Ralph, I spoke over you. Please go ahead.
Well, that's okay. I was going to say that is indeed the Dr. Rima recommends the silver solution, and it's available, folks. You can go to Dr. Rima recommends, that's DrRimaRecommends.com, and you'll be able to get the silver. You'll have to pay for it by check because, of course, the powers that be in this world of privatized tyranny do not want us to let you use debit and credit cards to buy your silver. And that's a very, very important lesson. Right now, what we're watching around the world is what I call the privatization of tyranny. In the United States, for example, when the Centers for Disease Control, so-called, recommends a new vaccine, and it does it through a certain set of committees that are set up. These are committees of scientists. And unfortunately, because all of the scientists are themselves so deeply involved in the vaccine business that every single one of them seems to have a conflict of interest, that they've changed the rules and the conflicts of interest no longer stop people from voting. So these committees that are made up of self-interested drug pushers approve the vaccines, and then these approved vaccines are taken up by local governments, by hospitals, by universities, and turned into mandates. In Australia, the mandates are being enforced through depriving people of financial benefits, and in California, they're being enforced by telling children they can't go to school if they haven't been vaccinated. Other parts of the world, they're being enforced through other private means. The same exact process of vaccine enforcement is being used to control people's financial activities through things like Operation Choke Point, which was an extra legal operation by the U.S. government, where it was using banks and credit card companies to prevent people who the government didn't like from being able to engage in financial activities, such as, of course, Dr. Rima. And we see this happening in the area of censorship, where government-created corporations, such as Google and Facebook, have become the chief instruments of censorship. So it's the privatization of tyranny that we're watching. And the way people can get around that and fight back is to become aware of it.
if you're not aware of the tyranny, information, you're not going to be able to stop it.
Ralph, we lost you. Is to become aware of it and what?
Become aware of it and then take steps. For example, you know, instead of using a credit card to buy your nano silver, you're going to have to use a check.
Now, let's talk about that a little. Let's talk about that a little. We go online, all of us, and we buy whatever we want through PayPal or credit cards, and we think that that's going to continue forever. Well, it will if you're buying what the governments want you to buy. But if you're buying something like nano silver, here's what happened to us. We make available this nutrient that supports your immune system. So the manufactured plagues, and you will probably remember that the United States government has multiple patents on the genetically engineered version of Ebola. And by the way, I got an email from a Sierra Leonese lady who said, the people of Sierra Leone still love you and thank you for saving their lives with nano silver. When we sent 200 bottles there, we saved 500 people's lives. And then the World Health Organization said that if the government of Sierra Leone bought any nano silver beyond what had been donated to them, then they would lose all of their aid. And that is incredibly important in the African countries. They would lose all of their aid. So they were forced to not cure their people of malaria, of dengue, of tuberculosis, of Ebola, of the other viruses and bacteria and parasites, because that would not be in accord with the globalist plan, now would it? Anyway.
By the way, that's directly contrary to a declaration by the very same WHO that said in the emergency conditions of the Ebola pandemic, it was okay to use unproven and untried remedies. But then when we tried to do that,
No.
You missed out the lingo there. You're allowed to use unproved and unproven remedies. Yours was both proved and proven, so it was disqualified.
Right. We blew it. We had a proven, successful remedy that was based in science. And the FDA came at us and said, no. We're sending you a warning letter because by revealing the science that supports your position, you have turned nanosilver from a nutrient to a drug. And by turning it into a drug, it's an unapproved drug, and therefore you are guilty of criminal acts because it is a crime to recommend, market, or produce an unapproved drug in the United States. And we just said you turned it into an unapproved drug. So you're a bad person. And then the New York Times and the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune and all the television stations by name named me as a quack because I was saying that you could cure Ebola when I didn't say that at all. What I said is that this science said that there's no Ebola disease because the Ebola virus can't do its dirty work in the presence of this nano silver. Wouldn't you like to have some? Whoa, they went nutso on me. So I must have been doing
it. Back off, though, when we explained to them the science, which was that the nano silver supported normal cell membrane integrity. Nothing about treating a disease, nothing about, you know, the illegal word cure. It's just a nutrient that supports immune systems. But why is that important? Well, it's because something like an Ebola pandemic can only take hold in a immune system suppressed population. And when you support the immune system through natural means, you can't create the pandemic in the first place.
Right. Now, let's go back to Nagalase.
Oh, could I stop you just there? Because there were two things
I wanted to... Well, it's your show. Of course you can.
The one thing that's not being covered, I think, in a lot, maybe for good reason, is what intention autism and all of these really bad vaccines and so on and so forth are actually putting out of. They acknowledge, oh, there's a financial incentive and so on and so forth. But people don't get that because they don't understand psychopathy, how, you know, somebody without a conscience could easily do that without even a second thought about it whatsoever. But the second part of it is, what's the actual intention? What is the unintended side effects that are actually the intended side effects?
On September 11th, 2013, the Natural Solutions Foundation. Vinny, I don't know if we mentioned that Ralph and I are the two trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation and that our website is drrimatruthreports.com, D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. And we'd like you to go there and put your name in. And when you get your thank you email, you will get a download link for an amazing book written by our sadly now deceased president, my husband, and Ralph's dear friend, Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III. It's a very important book. Meanwhile, please go to drrimatruthreports.com. So what we did on September 11th, 9/11/2013 was run a webinar called Autism, an Inside Job. Autism is being created. The vaccines are being tuned to create high-functioning autistic workers for the globalists. And if you read the first three chapters of Brave New World, published in 1932 by Aldous Huxley, a member of the Fabian Socialists who laid all this out at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century, you will see precisely what the intention is. So the idea is to have as many autistic technicians as possible. They can be paid for pennies on the dollar because they're disabled. They can be interchanged and discarded because they don't have the social skills to combine, form a union, a revolution. They are interchangeable, disposable. They tend to be infertile. They have short lives. They love repetitive tasks. They follow orders, and they make no trouble. This was articulated by a member of the British House of Parliament's Lord Larry Friend, who said that autistic workers are the perfect workers for the reasons that I've just mentioned. And then we see that Vodafone and Microsoft and SAP, and a number of other mega corporations are fighting for the available autistic workers, fighting to hire them because of the things that I've talked about. We need more autistic workers. The other thing is that the downstream market following vaccination, including the services and drugs and so on required by autistic individuals, has now eclipsed cancer alone. Cancer is only one part of the downstream market, which previously was the most productive, financially productive disease ever encountered by humankind. You give people vaccines over and over and over and over and over. You give them Nalgalase. You give them glyphosate in those vaccines. We have found that vaccines from around the world actually have added glyphosate, which damages the blood-brain barrier in the presence of aluminum, which is also in the vaccines. And now you make more autistic people and more neurologically and more immunologically damaged people, more people with autoimmune and inflammatory disease and processes. And yes, that's so good for business. And then they die. So it's financial success for the pharmaceutical industry and it's depopulation for the pharmaceutical industry controllers who are the globalists. Other than that, I don't know what they're for.
Oh God. Well, something looks after me. Like, I used to look after autistic boys myself, and I see what it does to the parents, all right? The parents aren't autistic, but their child is, and every single dream, every single hope that they ever had for them about that, about going to see them play sport on a Saturday, seeing them get married, or even hope to have grandchildren, it's gone, and they're now stuck with this kid who can't even communicate with them, who acts like they're not even there. Right, and it was so painful for me just to see the parents going through that I couldn't continue to keep doing that job. And I was really good at that job. I was really helping these boys. You know, their behaviors were starting to change because of me. But because it was such a depressing scenario, I couldn't stay in it. But guess what? I had a choice. The parents don't. They're still stuck in that situation, and now they've got somebody who's inferior to me looking after their child instead. Right? It's like, oh my God, there's no upside to this.
There is no upside to it, except...
Dr. Rima has been working on an ebook. Dr. Rima has been working on an ebook specifically about the problem of addressing autism. You know, we're not going to give up on these children. We're not going to allow the globalists to create their Delta worker class without a fight.
But there is something else, and that book was almost finished when General Burt became ill, and he went into hospital, and it's been a long and terrible saga. And unfortunately, he was killed not by his cardiovascular disease, not by the induced kidney disease, not by the other conditions. He was killed by lack of informed consent because I and his doctor could not get intravenous vitamin C into him because it's not in the formulary, because allopathic medicine is determined not to cure anyone, regardless of type. Yep. And so he died because of what he said presciently several months before. He said, informed consent is the defining issue of the 21st century, and the lack of informed consent, and we went to court, we did everything we could do and more. The lack of informed consent killed not only my beloved and a leader in the health freedom movement and a hero, but a human being, just as it's killing your human beings, just as the lack of informed consent is creating these autistic people, just as compulsory vaccination is creating the diseases and the disasters of which you speak, and many, many others, and it must not happen. And we have the way to stop it from happening, by God. And Ralph will tell you what it is, because he figured it out, because he's astonishingly brilliant.
Oh my gosh. It's very simple. When she's mentioned informed consent, when General Burt said informed consent is the defining issue of the 21st century, he was talking about the right to say no. He was talking about a right that our parents, my parents, the greatest generation, got for us in World War II. One of the great outcomes, you know, wars have consequences, right? And one of the great outcomes of World War II was enshrining in international law the right to informed consent. And that happened because a bunch of Nazi doctors were put on trial for crimes against humanity because they were engaging in experimentation and medical practices on people without their informed consent. So the law of the world is now, and has been for a long time, that it is a crime to deny people their right of informed consent. It is, for example, and it's not, yeah, there we go, and it's not just a crime to deny them their informed consent, but it violates medical ethics. And it is, when a doctor engages in a medical intervention without informed consent, that doctor is engaging in a trespass and is liable in damages. Famous case
or in the, not only without informed consent, but in violation of the expressed informed consent to refuse the treatment.
She's holding up that express informed consent. That is our little advanced vaccine directive card. Just like a diabetic might carry a card that says, I am a diabetic. Or someone might carry a card that says, I am allergic to penicillin. Or we know some Seventh-day Adventists who carry cards that say, I refuse all blood transfusions. The same way, that little gold card allows you to say, I refuse all vaccines. And if you vaccinate me against my will, you're violating my rights, and I can sue you for the trespass.
You personally, sue your hospital, whereas if the vaccine that you give me causes damages, I cannot sue you or the company or the hospital because of the indemnity that Congress gave to these companies. But if you violate, if you violate my informed consent, that is a personal crime and an institutional crime, and I will be a very, very rich woman.
I want
to say something. Vinny, I think you live in a foreign country where they talk funny, right?
Well, one can only hope.
One can only hope, indeed, indeed. Now, this stratagem that we're talking about is good not only in the United States, but in 126 countries around the world, including your foreign country where they talk funny, and 125 other foreign countries, because as long as a country is a signatory and has ratified the international law known as the Geneva Convention, because treaties are legal agreements that supersede the law of the country, then this is valid in your country, and you whip it out and you share it with your kids' school, with your employer, with the military, with whomever, and you are now asserting your right in a way that is legally binding, and they hope you never figure it out.
Something I wanted to discuss with Dr. Paul Connett when he came here and I got to interview him for the show, about whether or not fluoridation mandatorily is indeed a war crime under the Geneva Conventions and the Nuremberg Law Code and stuff like that, because it's, again, not informed consent.
Exactly.
I believe that it would be, don't you, Ralph?
No question about it. Look, an advanced vaccine directive is just like any other advanced medical directive. Just like you might say, sign a document that says, I don't want to be resuscitated, or I do want to be resuscitated. And they have to honor that directive. It's not just a law from 1914. It's not just a law from 1945. In the United States, as recently as 2013, there was a case in which the Supreme Court said, we have never wavered from our commitment to the proposition that you have a privacy interest in preventing a government agent from piercing the skin. You have a right to stop the government at your skin, and you have a right to stop the government's agents, and you have a right to stop those private agents that have been authorized by the government to do things like invade your skin. So it's the privatization of tyranny does not apply to informed consent. That right is there. It's a universal right. And when, for example, in California, Governor Jerry Brownshirt signed that law that said you must choose between being vaccine free and having a free public education for your child, which the state constitution guarantees to every child, what they were doing was creating what we call in the United States an unconstitutional condition. They are conditioning a benefit or a right on surrendering a benefit or a right. And that's exactly what's happening in Australia, where the government there is now, looks like it's now expanding its demands from the children being vaccinated to everyone being vaccinated.
That is the program. That is the program. We have been saying for more than a decade at the Natural Solutions Foundation, and we have the irritating habit of being right when other people are still saying, oh, that's ridiculous, and then we turn out to be right. I call it the Cassandra complex. We have been saying...
What's really difficult about that is, like, not only are you right, and you've been right for 10 years at least, right, publicly, right out there in the airwaves, but when you tell somebody something you were telling people 10 years ago, they still think you're crazy. even though you've been right for 10 years, even though you've been saying the same thing for 10 years.
Let us be clear. You can be crazy and be right. And there is no guarantee that we are not all quite batty, but we are all quite correct.
Wouldn't you agree? If you want to join us in our battiness, yes. If you want to join us in our battiness and get one of those little cards, we must show them the card again. I must have one of these around here somewhere. That's right. You go to the following tiny URL. We use tiny URLs to make it easier to get to websites. tinyurl.com/AVD card, AVD, Advanced Vaccine Directive, AVD card, and a little donation foundation will get you your card. We think it's a great way for people to support our foundation and for us to support people.
And so, support that's our message. Right. Today. And if you're still wavering because you haven't been listening to Vinny long enough, or to me, or to Ralph, or to Sherry Tenpenny, or to Vaxxed, or to reality. And by the way,
I love it how she just kind of adds that on the end there.
Dr. Thompson.
By the way, that reality is coming home to bite everybody in the butt. Before General Burt untimely passed on, he gave us some final warnings. And the final warning and a paper he published before he went to hospital, it was that the great culling has begun. And he said the tipping point has been reached, and the year 2017 is going to be the year when it will be undeniable that the tipping point, the population crash, has begun. Just like we saw in the old Soviet Union, where the result of the insanity that was communism resulted in a collapse of the population, where Russian males, the most privileged people in that society, were dying younger and younger and younger. The same thing has begun to happen in the so-called free countries of the world. The United States is leading the way. General Burt cited certain statistics that show that the baby boomer generation is living at least as long as their parents, if not longer. But the generation younger than that are not gaining longevity on their parents. And the generation before that are not gaining longevity on their parents. We've reached a tipping point where
he wrote at that time, the statistics were available for males. Males between 45 and 55 were living a shorter time. Males between 35 and 45 were living even shorter. Males tend to be the most privileged in the inequitable societies that we're talking about. And now, and his prediction was that the female population would start to show the same loss of longevity. And indeed, just in the last month, those statistics have begun emerging. We are dying younger. We are dying of more degenerative diseases. Alzheimer's disease was, when I graduated from medical school in 1970, which was indeed within living memory, I am pleased to say, not everyone is pleased to say that, but I am. When I graduated from medical school, Alzheimer's disease could not be diagnosed in someone younger than 65, by definition. Now, I have treated people, a brother and a sister, 17 and 18 years old with Alzheimer's disease, because their food has been weaponized and their bodies have been weaponized and their genome has been weaponized by vaccination, by chemtrailing, by food that is not designed to support life, and by medications that similarly are not designed to support life.
As Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Exactly. We make the strong prediction that the tipping point has been reached, and that it's going to be measurable, and that it will not be able to be ignored. And I believe that as that happens, people are going to be looking for answers, and they're going to be looking to find out who is responsible. And I suggest to those people who work for the CDC and similar agencies, you better start figuring out what your exit strategy is.
Yes, and your exit strategy better not be killing more of us. Because right. That's not going to work. There is a point at which the tipping is against you guys. It is very important to realize that we're not talking about some theoretical possibility. We're talking about your life, your family, your longevity, your children, and most importantly, your genome. There are two resources I want to give you. One is a paper that I wrote on vaccination that I delivered in India that basically created a firestorm there because I told the truth about vaccines. That's all. I said they don't work. They have never worked. They never prevented or cured anything. And the way that polio and smallpox were eliminated was by changing their names to non-polio ascending acute flaccid paralysis and monkeypox, which is smallpox by another name.
That's good because my brother is really into this into the vaccine thing and researching into them, and he doesn't like them, but he still thinks the polio vaccine does something good, or he still thinks that vaccine does something good, and hasn't thrown them all out. And I said to him, look, bro, what they did is when the polio vaccine got introduced, polio disappeared, but chronic fatigue syndrome went out everywhere.
Well, it's even worse than that. It's even worse than that. In the 13 months, I mean, that's correct, but it's even worse. In the 13 months before India was declared a polio-free country by the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Creation of the United States government, the number of cases of non-polio acute flaccid paralysis, which is the same as acute flaccid paralysis, i.e. polio, is caused by the same virus, and it's disseminated by the vaccination.
That's the
number
key.
Of cases in vaccinated children went from basically nothing because there wasn't a vaccine push to 57,300 children who were either dead or crippled by this
much more
polio vaccine.
If they're much more virulent form, that particular paralysis is much more virulent, whereas
more virulent.
Most get polio and recover when they get this artificial polio, they're much worse off.
And I mentioned this in my paper that I delivered in India, thinking, well, everybody in India knows it. I'll just mention it lightly, just to be complete. And essentially, they didn't know it. Not the doctors who were opposed to vaccines, not anybody, because it had been hidden in India. And the largest English language newspaper in India, which is perplexingly called the Hindu. Okay. Anyway, the Hindu demanded the next day that the government of India rescind my license, which was handy for me because the government of India didn't issue my license. But anyway, they were completely horrified by the fact that this fact had been made public, because we're supposed to hide this. Please have your brother go to or do a search for Dr. Rima India Paper. That's DRRIMA India Paper. And he will find the paper which has the government statistics from the UK and Wales showing that the vaccines not only did not eliminate the infectious diseases that he loves them so much for, but they caused up spikes in the infectious diseases.
Right. These you see, in example after example and disease after disease, there was a major reduction in the diseases brought about by hygiene, nutrition, and sanitation. And then when the vaccines were introduced, there's upticks and ups and downs and all sorts of interesting things happening. In fact, in recent years, almost every outbreak of an infectious disease has been triggered by vaccinated individuals.
Measles? You want to talk measles?
Ooh, 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 ooh,
measles
I just wanted to back up something Ralph said just there about outbreaks actually being caused by the vaccines. And what reminds me is Jane Burgermeister actually breaking the story during, the swine flu outbreak, I think, a giant pharmaceutical company actually had contaminated their vaccine specifically with that virus and then shipped it into Europe. But before it could actually be released and be given to the public, they tested those vaccines on stoats and weasels who all died as a result of receiving the shot, and so the things didn't go out. Now, what's interesting about that is in order for a vaccine to even escape the manufacture process and be sent somewhere to get administered, it has to go through like 50 different security checks or something like that, which all simultaneously failed, i.e. it was deliberate.
Well, it's even worse than that. It was actually the avian flu. And what happened was that Baxter had a contract with 17 countries that if avian flu broke out, they would be the only manufacturer of vaccines and the entire populace would be vaccinated. Think about the amount of money Baxter would make from that and then from the downstream diseases that it would cause. And Baxter then sent contaminated vaccines with the virus capable of causing the disease to these countries in Europe. And it was only because a Czech technician decided to not C-Z-E-C-H, but C-H-E-C-K, and he checked it in Czechoslovakia, and suddenly he found, oh my God, this is indeed a deadly vaccine lot. Oh, they're all deadly vaccine lots. And it was stopped because one man did his job and reported upon it. Now, we're talking about a pandemic flu that was designed, according to what we know about the genetic manufacture of this, and was predicted to kill gazillions and gazillions and gazillions of people. And it might have if they had gotten it. But people stayed away because the country said, oh, I guess we shouldn't inoculate anybody with that. Whereas the swine flu vaccine in 2009 was already funded, and it was announced to Congress in the United States that there would be, note, it was announced to Congress that they had no choice in the matter, that the FDA had decided that there was going to be a mandatory vaccine program, starting with those who wanted it first. And Ralph and I and General Burt discovered by just doing simple internet homework that the amount of squalene that they were going to extend the vaccines with, because supposedly they didn't have enough, the amount of squalene that they were going to inject just happened to coincide with the amount that the U.S. government holds two patents on for the purpose of injecting to cause irreversible immune-mediated infertility and sterility.
Which is, ladies and gentlemen, commonly known as Gulf War Syndrome, which exactly. when the soldiers went to the Gulf War and they said, oh, that Saddam's got all these chemical weapons that we sold him, and he's got all these other stuff that we sold him, so we're going to have to try and protect you by injecting you with squalene and water, oil and water adjuvants, which will give you a horrible disease when you're home.
And will give your wife and your kids that same horrible disease when you're home.
Yeah, well, yay. That's the ideal.
And will make you infertile. Yay! Triple win. So this same stuff was going to be added to the swine flu vaccine. Remember, the vaccine spreads the disease and people would become infertile, but they'd never know because everybody was going to receive it. There would be no control group and they wouldn't know that they were infertile until 20 years later if they were kids.
Boom!
Wonderful. Yes.
This truly is the lighter side of genocide, is it not?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're having
and
fun.
And what happened was, in the United States at least, millions of people using our action item sent messages to their legislators saying, we will not accept this vaccine. And so when Sebelius, the Secretary of Health, or actually the Secretary of Disease, right, of Human Disservice, When she said to Congress, we're going to have, everyone's going to be vaccinated, starting with the volunteers, she was talking about actually spreading the supply by adding the squalene. And she said, the FDA's own scientists will not sign off on this. So we can't do it until there's a national health emergency declared. Less than a week later, the occupant of the White House, one Barack Hussein Obama, signed the emergency order within a week of that testimony by the Secretary of Disease.
For a disease that wasn't present.
That's what I was about to say. And it didn't become present because people refused the vaccine. But the plan was to mix this vaccine with the squalene at 90,000 locations around the United States. You know,
what could possibly go wrong?
Right. Grammar school cafeterias and town hall basements, you know, pharmaceutical facilities like that. That's what they were going to do. They were going to have nurses sticking the needles into the vials of the vaccine and pushing in the squalene and trying to figure out how, whether there was enough not to kill people directly. It was going to be a wonderful event.
Now that and is what you call clinical Husseinity.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Better organized now. They are better organized for the next run.
Well,
they've gone through a whole series of mandates in Australia, in California, and elsewhere, and it's going to be much more difficult next time around. And believe me, next time around is coming up really soon.
Speaking of what's coming up very soon, the very end of the show, we have less than 2 minutes to go. So we've gotten off a bunch of new websites and things like that off you guys, and we want to go ahead.
Go to drrematruthreports.com. drrematruthreports.com. You'll see a link to the AVD cards right there on the main page. There's a link to some of General Burt's important papers. His 2017 assessment is essential for everyone to read or listen to. It's there both ways. And the links are there to get the AVD card, which you need to get.
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
you cannot use a credit card because the man doesn't want you to have easy access. So you have to use an international money order or some other thing of that sort. I apologize.
Or Bitcoin.
Now, near the end of the documentary, Vaxxed, spoiler alert for you, ladies and gentlemen, because so many new vaccines keep getting added to the schedule and because the autism rates keep exploding, it's now at an exponential curve. That exponential curve will peak at 2030. And at that point, one in two people, that's 80% of boys, 20% of women, will be autistic if this is allowed to continue. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are you fighting for? You're fighting for your life. Okay, you're fighting for the future of the human race.
Your species. Mm-hmm. You're fighting for the future of the human species and your life. Dr. Rima, what do you think?
There's only one thing worth fighting for, and that's your health freedom. Either you own your body and you're a free man or woman, or you're a slave.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation, thank you very much for tuning in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is the lighter side of genocide because there is nothing worse than the truth except for Vinnie's jokes. And bear in mind, I am in a bit of a financial crisis here myself as well. So if you can, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate through the Patreon, the PayPal and the KiwiBank, which for me, fortunately, because I don't cure diseases, is still working. Now... Speaking of which, my wife is going in for surgery, so we need a whole month's rent up front. That's about 1,400 New Zealand dollars. So anything you can give to help us, ladies and gentlemen, while she's recovering on the couch watching our DVD collection with nothing else to do, please do go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, donate today. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime.